Hey, welcome to Church Online. I'm so glad that you joined us today. And you know, if you're new here, I want to encourage you to text the number on the screen. Let us know that you're here. We'd love to connect with you. And man, I can't wait to see what God is going to do today through the message, how he's going to speak to you. So let's dive in.
What's up? My name is Chris Highfield, lead pastor here at Grace River Church, and I want to say thank you so much for watching Church Online with us today. You know, my hope is that you take a next step on your spiritual journey as you meet, know, and follow Jesus as a result of today's teaching. Today, we are starting a brand new series called Winning the Battle in Your Mind, and we're going to be talking specifically about mental health in this series. And you may be asking the question, why are we talking about mental health at a church series? Well, man, the reality is that one in every five Americans have been diagnosed with some kind of mental health problem. 17.3 million Americans have been diagnosed with depression. 1/20th of children have depression. Depression is higher in women, but the reality is suicide is double in white men, especially white middle-aged men. And so it's also the number two cause of death in teenagers. 45,979 people died last year of suicide. 1.2 million people tried to commit suicide last year. And so this is a real problem. And what's amazing is that God's word has something to say about our mental health. And we're going to be looking at what the Bible has to say. We're also going to be looking at how we can handle and how really as followers of Jesus, we have an advantage. Hopefully we have an advantage that other people don't have. And so we're going to talk about how we can leverage that advantage. And the reality is, I just want to like level the playing field and help you to understand that God loves you, that God cares about you, that you matter. And the reality is God has a great plan for your life. And so my hope is maybe you don't need this sermon and somebody else does. Or maybe you don't need this sermon and you could help somebody else. Or maybe you desperately need this talk. And so that's my hope, is that today we're able to set some people free. And I want to encourage you to dial into this series over the next 4 weeks. I really believe that it's going to set some people free. It's going to help people with their next step. So that's been my prayer, is that we have clarity on the next step and the courage to actually take it. Let's jump in today and see what the Bible has to say about our minds. But Romans chapter 12, verse 2, this was written 2,000 years ago, and I think it's fitting for today. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. God, through His word, can change the way that you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Man, you can know God's will, but there are four factors when it comes to health, okay? So we're going to talk about these four factors today. We're going to talk about mental health. That's obviously a factor when it comes to our health. And I wanted to say this as well. There are things that are happening with people that are watching this right now that are like, you can meet some Christians that say that every problem you have is a result of a sin problem. And I want you to know, we don't believe that's true here at Grace River. Like, every problem you have, yes, it's a result of our brokenness. That's why we're not healthy in these areas that we're going to talk about. But there are things that you can't avoid. And there may be something chemically off. There may be an imbalance or whatever. And so I would never tell you not to take medicine or not to seek professional help. In fact, Man, for some of you, you've been waiting to seek professional help, and I want to encourage you, go see a counselor. You may need this. And so when it comes to mental health, it's a real thing. And in this series, we're going to be talking a lot about that part of our lives, is that mental part of our lives where we're mentally healthy, right? And we can see that God can change the way that we think. But there's also our physical health and even our emotional health. And I will even speak to this as well. Like, you know, it's proven scientifically, like there may be a need for you. There could be something that's chemically off for you. And I think it's important that we address that, yes, the Bible has something to say about our physical health and our emotional health, right? But this is something that you may need to address yourself. And what I think is really encouraging for you to hear is, like, our pastoral staff, we've sought counseling ourselves. There's nothing wrong with going to see a doctor. There's nothing wrong with this. In fact, we want to normalize that at our church, because the reality is there may be things happening physically to you, mentally for you, emotionally for you, that you need to unpack with someone. And I want to encourage you, let us help you find a Christian counselor if you don't have one, and let's begin to unpack that, because there could be some things that you just need some help with. And so I want to normalize that. There was a time for Christians where going and seeing a counselor may have been a taboo thing, and I want you to know it's not, all right? I think everybody should have a Christian counselor they know, like, and trust that they can visit from time to time. I think this is really super important and critical for your own development, for your own health. And so when we talk about the four factors of health, yes, there's mental health, there's physical and emotional health. I think there's sometimes just life skills that we need to learn too. Like, sometimes what we're going through, it may be a mental health issue, or it may be something that's physically off that you need, you know, medication for or help with, therapy for. But sometimes it's just life skills. Let me give you an example. Like, a life skill that you may need to develop in your own life is you may not like your boss. And there are some people that just don't like their boss. I get it, right? I've had bosses that I don't like. I totally understand, okay? But a life skill may be you addressing that with your boss, like not saying, hey, I don't like you, but like whatever hurt they've caused you, whatever difficulty they've caused you, maybe it's just you addressing that. And it doesn't have to just be with a boss. It could be another relationship with a person that is a friend or used to be a friend or could be a family member. Developing the life skills to say, hey, let's have an adult conversation about restoration here. Let's have an adult conversation about how this could get better. And then, you know, if it's impossible to get better, then go find a new job, right? Like, it's okay for you to get on LinkedIn and find a new place to work, right? Like, you can actually do that. So sometimes it's just developing the life skills to help you get out of whatever funk that is in that you're in. And so you don't have to work at your job, right? It's a career. Maybe it's not a calling for you, and that's okay. Like, for you to go, hey, I got to develop some life skills to get me out of the situation that I'm in. Maybe you're in a bad relationship, and absolutely, can that affect your physical health and your mental health? It absolutely can. And so maybe it's you deciding with life skills, going, hey, I'm just going to have the hard conversation and break up with this person. Or I'm going to have the hard conversation and maybe not be as close to this friend group as I used to be, because it's actually dragging me down instead of picking me up. That is just developing some life skills. And then the advantage that I think that we have, the fourth area of health, is the spiritual health. Because I really do believe when we're spiritually healthy, it's a game changer. You and I have something that maybe the world doesn't have, is we have this advantage, and the advantage is Jesus. You know, we just celebrated Easter, and the reality is we celebrate Easter once a year, but man, do you realize that the resurrection power that resurrected Jesus from the grave lives inside of you? And now I am not discounting the fact that you may have, like, something that you're struggling with mentally and something that you're struggling with emotionally or physically. But the reality is we have an unfair advantage amongst anyone else because we have the power of Jesus. And so the power of Jesus coupled with therapy, coupled with maybe some medication, coupled with, like, getting the right advice from the right group of people, I think it could be a game changer for you. So I think the problems that we face are real. And if we don't face them correctly, what we'll end up doing is we'll do this thing called self-medication, which is we'll run to things that aren't healthy. So you'll run to self-medicate, you'll run to the wrong relationships. Maybe you're trying to cover up or mask or numb pain that you've been through or that you're going through from your past or your present. And so you can run to the wrong group of people. You can also run to your sexuality in an unhealthy way. And so you can look at things on the internet that are not healthy, or you can get involved sexually in a relationship that you know is not a healthy thing for you. And so like deciding, hey, I'm not gonna cover or mask or numb the pain. Sometimes it's actually substance abuse. And so you can run to alcohol or a pill or weed or whatever it may be. You run to those things to self-medicate. And those things are not, some of us can overwork. I know I fall into this category from time to time. Is what I'll do to numb the pain in my life is I'll just keep working. All hours of the day, all into the night, work to fill up or to satisfy whatever need it is inside of our lives that we say, hey man, I need to be needed. We'll self-medicate and we do it in the wrong way. That's a problem that we face ultimately, because self-medication, what it ultimately does is it temporarily numbs the pain, but ultimately it's still a problem. And we're not actually going to the healer to heal us, which the healer for us is Jesus. That's the unfair advantage that we have. Sometimes we also have what I would just call stinking thinking, which is we just have negative thoughts about ourselves or about others that we just put on repeat. And we have to stop doing that. Like this negative self-talk that happens inside of us that says, man, I'll never be good enough, right? I don't deserve this. I'm ugly. I'm fat, right? I'm not smart enough. And what we end up doing is that we have this stinking thinking. And the Bible actually has some stuff to say about stinking thinking. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. So whenever you begin to have stinking thinking about yourself and you start believing that in your heart, well, then you actually will end up stinking, right? So when you think that you're a failure long enough, you will fail, right? When you think that you're not good enough long enough, you will pick the bad set of friends. When you think that you're not good enough long enough, you will settle for the wrong spouse. Like you will do all of these things if you subscribe to stinking thinking. Also, Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart. Now, it's interesting. One of the biggest lies that we believe is follow your heart. I don't believe you should follow your heart. In fact, I think that's actually really bad advice, right? Right up there with you be you, girl. Like these are all things, like you being you is actually not what you want to be. You want to be more like Jesus, right? And so, but guarding your heart is really important to understand because it determines the course of your life. So make sure that you're protecting yourself and you're protecting yourself from stinking thinking and not allowing that negative self-talk to creep into your life. In fact, I would replace negative self-talk with God's word instead. Like take those thoughts that I'm a loser, that I'm never going to be enough, right? And replace it with God loves me, right? Like what if you replaced it with John 3:16? You know, what if you replaced it with Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which is the verse that we're going to use throughout this series, that you would allow God to renew and to transform your mind. Like, allow those things to be things that are on repeat in your heart, in your life. You know, just like a good song gets on repeat sometimes. I don't know if that happens to you, but for me, in my Spotify playlist, there's actually a playlist on Spotify for me, which is called On Repeat. And these are songs that I've selected over and over and over again. And Spotify knows that and puts it on repeat for me. And I wonder what it is in your life that you could put on repeat that's positive. And this isn't just like the power of positive thinking, but like what is it in God's word that you could put on repeat in your own life that could actually change things? And so we self-medicate. We also have this thing, this stinking thinking thing that happens to us. We also have the lies that we believe, right? There's lies that we believe that we've either convinced ourselves of, or maybe there are even lies that other people have told us. Lies that we would believe are things like, there's no way that anyone could ever really love you. There's no way that God could actually forgive you. There's no way that God could actually use you. There's no way that you could actually have purpose or that God could have a plan for your life. This all falls under lies that we believe. And ultimately, the lies that we believe come from Satan himself. John chapter 8, verse 44, he's talking about Satan, this is Jesus talking about Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. That's Satan. That's the character trait of our enemy, Satan, is that there is no truth in him. When he lies, it's consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. I mean, man, that's pretty harsh to be known as the father of lies. These are the words of Jesus talking about Satan himself. Jesus also says in John 10:10, the thief's purpose is to do three things, to steal, to kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. God wants you to have a satisfying life. God wants you to know that He has a purpose and a plan for your life. But sometimes we end up buying the lies or believing the lies that we know just are not true. And so let's make a decision together to say, I'm no longer going to buy the lie. Like, I'm done with that. In fact, I'm going to seek out the truth from God, because the truth is that God wants to give you a rich and satisfying life. And so another problem that we face often is the comparison game. Like, one of the reasons why I believe that mental health is worse off than it's ever been, that's why I think this is such an important conversation for us to have as a church. I think one of the reasons, it's not the only, but I do believe that one of the reasons is the comparison game that we get to play, and it's louder than ever because of social media. You realize there was a day when you didn't know what some of your best friends were having for dessert, but now they post about it. There was a day whenever we didn't know the amazing vacations that our friends went on, or the amazing relationship that our friends are in. There was a day, and I use that term friends pretty loosely, because most of these people are just acquaintances that we're friends with on Facebook and Instagram, right? And the people that you're following on TikTok and all the different ESPN highlight reels that you're watching play out in other people's lives. What the danger is in the comparison game, when you play this game, you will always lose. That's the hard part about the comparison game. The comparison game is built with the deck stacked against you. There's no way you can win this. I face this even as a pastor. We just finished Easter. And what's so difficult about Easter is, man, we celebrate it. It's a high. It's amazing. It's awesome. I mean, over the course of six services, we had nearly 1,400 people here at Grace River. But you know what's amazing is there's always a church that may do better than us. And what I find myself often doing the week after Easter is comparing our church to another church, comparing our church's story to another church's story, comparing my life as a pastor to another pastor's life. And so it doesn't matter what line of work you're in, or even what your aspirations are in life, what your hobbies, what your interests are, all of us can play the comparison game, because we all have a friend that has a house that's bigger than ours and ceilings that are taller than our ceilings. We always have a friend that has a car that smells and looks newer than our car. We will always have friendships like this. It's just a reality that we all have to live with. But here's the thing. You don't have to keep playing the comparison game. In fact, the sooner that you decide I'm done playing this game, the more mentally better off you're going to be, the more spiritually better off you're going to be. These are problems, real problems that we actually face. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says this, but they're comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as the standard of measurement. Paul says, how ignorant. Man, let's not be like this. Let's not be the kinds of people that are comparing ourselves among ourselves, measuring ourselves up against ourselves. And so the lies or the problems that we face as we self-medicate, we have the stinking thinking, the lies that we believe, and ultimately the comparison game. These are all things. But here's the thing. Let's replace all those lies with truth. The truth is, dude, you are a child of God. You're not a loser. You have worth. You're God's kid. So no matter how you're feeling about yourself mentally, emotionally, physically, just know there's a God in heaven that looks at you and says, she's mine. He's mine. God loves you. You're a child of God. Also, you're worth it. Like, God gave up His one and only Son for you. And that wasn't a waste. God would have done it all over again. Why? Because you are worth it. You have a purpose. You may not think that you do, but I want you to know, man, every single one of us have a calling and purpose in our life. And man, you have a purpose. God's your protector. You may have people talking mess about you. You may have difficulty, struggles. You may be misunderstood and misrepresented. But here's the thing. Ultimately, God is your protector. And then no problem. Here's the beauty, man. No problem is bigger than God's promises. The problems that you face, yes, they may seem, and often I feel like the problems that I face feel like Mount Everest. But I want you to know, there is not a problem that you face that is bigger than the promises that come from God. And so I want you to consider some next steps today as we wrap up our teaching time. First of all, would you just decide, I'm going to stop comparing. Like, just be done with it. It's not good for you. It's not helpful for you. So stop it. And then start learning the truth. Like, replace the lies with truth. Replace all the stuff that we talked about that the thief loves to do, that Satan loves to do in your life, and instead replace it with the truth. Just make a decision to say, I'm going to memorize scripture and I'm going to allow it to actually change my life. In fact, a great passage for you to memorize this week, a little homework for you, would be Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Allow God to transform your life. And it starts by transforming the way that you think. And so, man, start learning the truth. Also, seek help. Again, I'm not going to be able to solve all these problems, right? And the reality is, you're listening to this and you're like, Chris, you actually haven't even addressed my issue yet. I would say, man, let's watch again next week, because next week we're going to talk about anxiety, stress, and depression. So I want to encourage you, man, to watch or to come see us in person next weekend at Grace River Church. But you may need to seek out help. I think this is really important. Do not skip this step. Man, you've been struggling mentally for years. There may be something off, and I just want to encourage you, make sure you go see somebody about this. Like, find a Christian counselor, find someone to talk to, and I think this is going to be really critical for your growth for the future, and we want to help set you free. And then also, surrender it to God. Like, ultimately, the reason why some of you aren't willing to go seek help is you still haven't surrendered it to God. Like, once you take your life, all of your life, the mental part of your life, okay, the physical and emotional part of your life, the spiritual part of your life, what if you took all of it and said, God, you can have it all? In order for that to happen, you have to surrender. And so I wonder, have you surrendered yet? In fact, I want to give you the chance right now to surrender your life over to God. In fact, you could pray a prayer just like this. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just a moment? And I wonder if we could just, in the still of this moment, pray and surrender our lives to God. And maybe that's surrendering for the first time in a long time, but maybe it's surrendering for the first time ever and receiving salvation from God. Like, you've got some problems, but your biggest problem hasn't been solved yet, and that's your sin problem. And you've been carrying around the weight of guilt and remorse and shame for far too long, and maybe today's the day that you get set free from that. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, maybe we could just receive Christ right now. You're ready to say yes to Him. If you're ready, you could pray a prayer just like this. God, I admit that I need You. God, I acknowledge that I have sinned, I've fallen short, and I could blame others, but ultimately there are things that I've done in my life that I feel guilt about, shame over. And God, today I admit all of that to You. God, I believe that You sent Your only Son, Jesus, for all my mess. And I confess with my heart and with my life, You and only You to be Lord and Savior. Thank You for saving me and for changing me and making me new. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, if you just prayed that prayer, we would love to celebrate with you here at Grace River. You could text the word YES to 636-336-2475. That's the word YES to 636-336-2475. My hope is that you were able to say yes to Him or able to surrender a part of your life over to Him. Join us next weekend as we continue our series, Winning the Battle in Your Mind. I know it's going to be a blessing to you and a big help. God bless you. Can't wait to see you soon.
I hope that you enjoyed today's message. I pray that you were able to take a next step in your spiritual journey of what it means to meet, know, and follow Jesus. I want to say thank you again for joining us, and I want to invite you back here next Sunday. If you call Grace River Church your home, I want to encourage you to give as well. Giving is an amazing next step that we can all take, and you can do that by going to graceriver.cc/give. Again, I hope that you enjoyed today. We'll see you back here next Sunday.